in much need of the help of God by and through the Holy Spirit. I venture this afternoon to direct your thoughts and attention to the word which is found in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 49 and reading verse 11. Isaiah chapter 49 verse 11. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. Let me say at once, dear friends, that this is the Lord God himself speaking to his people. And this is a declaration of what the Lord will do. And God, as that solemn character Balaam had to utter, God is not a man that he should lie. And dear friends, and again in the word of God, it is said, hath he said, and shall he not do it? And so, here then, dear friends, is a declaration that the Lord makes, and there is thus a certainty with it. And I will make all my mountains away. I've just noticed that in the hymn you have sung, there is, as the hymn writer mentions this, there is a description of some mountains. Oft have we seen the tempest rise, the world and Satan, hell and sin, like mountains, seemed to reach the skies with scarce a gleam of hope between. I wonder how many thought about what that says. And I wonder, dear friends, and I speak to myself, how many of us know something of those mountains that rise up so high in your across, against, over your path, your very soul, and there is scarce a gleam of hope between. Well, that really surely is a description of mountains. And what a mighty feature is a mountain. In our own land, geographically, we do not have anything really so large as some countries in the way of the hills and the mountains. We do not have anything approaching the height in our land that some lands do. And we therefore are, as far as that is concerned, we do not go about seeing the mountains like some people do. But one of the features of a mountain, however small or great it may be, is this, that the closer you get to it, the higher and the larger it seems to be. Isn't that so? If you, for instance, here locally, stand at evening time on the low-lying coastland to the east of the Downs, you may see the sun shining just over the top of the Downs. But it may even be known, and some of you may have experienced it, if you are travelling toward those Downs at the time near sunset, if you were to travel fast enough, you would literally see the sun disappear. The closer you get, the higher that by perspective is to your position. And how true that is in the experience of the Lord's people. Oh, in the life and path. And of course, with others, there are others who face obstacles in their life regardless of what they believe. But this word is a particular word. It doesn't just speak of mountains in the abstract. What does it speak of? Oh, friends, hear the Lord God. He says, and I will make all my mountains away. So there is a particular point here. And, oh dear friends, I wonder how it affects you and me. There are perhaps then, or there have been, as the Lord sovereignly appoints, if we are his, there are those mountains, those great obstacles that rear up in front of us. And they may take many forms, affliction, even appointments, matters in providence, illness of loved ones, and all sorts of things arise up in our life. And as they do, and the effect of that obstacle, that mountain, makes itself more and more known as we journey on. We come to a point where we may feel we will never know what it is to get the other side. And dear friends, I believe with some there is, and there will be with each of us in measure, there is a mountain before every one of us, and that is the day of our death. And the Word of God speaks of this regarding poor sinners who all their lifetime were subject to bondage by reason of death. And, oh dear friends, what a mountain is that. The day of our death. And are we trembling in the prospect of it? And as I have just said in the illustration, the nearer it comes, the nearer we get to it. Though none of us know what a day or an hour may bring forth, but the greater that mountain will become. Oh, friends, how is it with us? Are we found with that prayer, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am? But may it be yet sweetly proved, dear friends, that this mountain of death will be to us one of the Lord's mountains. Oh, may we prove it. And that we shall, in the mercy of God, prove that the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. And that better is the end than the beginning. Oh, friends, only the Lord can bring this to pass. So, these mountains, dear friends, we are often blind. And you and I may ascribe a second cause to this, that, and the other. Sometimes we ascribe mountains to our own sin, our own failing, our own fault, and we are constrained to feel, at least, that we have brought things upon ourselves, and those mountains are a consequence of our own sin. But, dear friends, you see, the Lord says, I will make all my mountains a way. And it will be our mercy if we are yet favoured to prove that this mountain is indeed in the Lord's hand. And that it is his sovereign appointment. We may find this in certain ways very hard to even begin to believe. You might be ready to say, well, this cannot possibly be a matter that is in the Lord's hand. Well, dear friends, the power of unbelief is great, and our natural understanding is so blind. But the Lord still says, I will make all my mountains a way. And that comes to mind in the prophecy of Zechariah. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. And dear friends, it will be well if you and I are brought where dear Job was brought. For he causeth it to come. He causeth it to come. And whether it be for correction or for his land, or for mercy. I may not have quoted it exactly as it is written. But dear friends, is there that desire in our heart that we might yet prove against all expectation that the Lord is over this matter? That the Lord has his own purposes which he will yet reveal. I will make all my mountains a way. Yes, dear friends, a way for a poor sinner to walk. To walk where you would perhaps never have thought, or in a way that you would never have thought you could possibly have done. And friends, those are the things that the Lord does. He brings to pass the impossible. And so he speaks, I will make. Yes, the wonder-working God. His way is in the sea. His footsteps are not known. I will make all my mountains a way. So, dear friends, may the Lord be pleased to apply his word as he sees fit. I have had to come and venture with this text. And you see, to us personally, it is your mountain and my mountain. And you may have had to think so much. You have perhaps even against your own will had to ponder so much what this mountain is, why it is, and however will you overcome, however will you get through, however can things go on. But dear friends, what a mercy, what a wonder if we shall prove that it is the Lord's mountain. That is, he has caused it to come. And he will make it to be, even yet, a way for you to walk. And I will make. So, friends, it's what the Lord will do. I will make all my mountains a way. Oh, perhaps there are those things that have taken place and they still overshadow. There is something that in them will not leave you. You cannot seem, as it were, to get past it. It might be an event that has, in that sense, already happened. But in your experience and your understanding, and in the effect of it that it has had upon you, you cannot yet get past it or over it. But you, friend, oh, may the Lord yet make manifest. May you sweetly prove it is his mountain, and that he has his own purposes that he will yet bring to pass. And that comes to mind the word in another place, destroy it not, for there is a blessing in it. Oh, friends, we're ready sometimes, as it were, to destroy things because we cannot, as it were, bear them. We cannot endure them in that sense. So we're ready to say that I'll have nothing more to think about this. I will forget it. I will leave it. I cannot bear to think about it anymore. Destroy it not. There is a blessing in it. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he walked this earth, oh, friends, what mountains the Lord Jesus Christ passed through. And he passed through mountains that none of us shall ever be able to walk, not in that way that he walked. If we are called into a little fellowship with him, we may in a little measure a taste of those things. But friends, I do not want to forget the Lord Jesus. I do want, and your dear pastor came to us at Eastbourne not long ago, and he preached from the word in the Gospel of John, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. And I was reminded of the importance of raising up the Lord Jesus upon the gospel pole. And I've been much troubled in feeling I must venture with this word just to preach all about experience of the Lord's people. Now, that is, when it's applied, it's wonderful truth, very confirming. And I do hope the Lord will yet make it known to you and to me that he, the Lord, has put those mountains before us and that he will make them away. But let us, oh, may the Lord help us to consider him, the Lord Jesus, without whom none of these mountains would ever be reduced to a plain. No, it is what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for his dear people. And friends, how the Lord Jesus then came. And we have much spoken of him in this chapter. The opening verses of this chapter speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, in what he under his Holy Father was sent and would be sent to accomplish. Not only to raise up those out of Israel, to restore the preserve of Israel, but he was sent also to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Now, dear friends, oh, what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished. And really, we might, as the Lord might help us, we might come straight to Gethsemane, to the garden. And there the Lord Jesus Christ, in his sacred, sinless humanity, faced what he would have to pass through. And I especially find that upon my mind now come those words that he spoke in prayer to his Holy Father in the garden. And the figure is the figure of a cup. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Now, I would speak with reverence, but friends, can you not see there the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of Man facing that tremendous prospect that he must hang upon the accursed tree? Oh, my Father, and then as God the Son, he cries to his Holy Father, the Son of God, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Now you see, dear friends, the text this afternoon, I will make all my mountains away. It doesn't mean that you and I will stand back and the Lord will just flatten that mountain. I know he can. I know he can. But dear friends, I believe for a true child of God, it means you have to go closer. You have to go toward this mountain. You mustn't try and go round it or turn back. No, but following in the footsteps of your Lord and Master. And there will be a little tasting of the cup. At most we do but taste the cup, but thou alone hast drunk it up. Now, friends, the Lord Jesus Christ alone drank up the cup. And before the Lord Jesus Christ, That great mountain, if I might put it with reverence, was swallowed up. Indeed, the Word of God speaks of the accomplishment of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how it is spoken of in prophecy. He will swallow up death in victory. He will swallow up death in victory. Oh, friends, the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life for his dear people. And that great mountain, the Lord Jesus Christ has abolished death, that is, the effects of death. He has abolished the effect of death for his dear people. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And oh friends, what he has accomplished, no tongue can tell. And yet, you see, he was verily man, as well as verily God. And whilst hanging there upon the cross, oh friends, how he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I will make all my mountains away. Now friends, the Saviour suffered the hidings of his Father's face, that each and every one of his dear people might know their Jesus' presence with them in death. They will. He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will make all my mountains away. Ah, friends, how the hymn writer wrote that prospect that he felt, and the Lord gave him a glimpse of regarding the River Jordan. A different figure, but the same thing really. And oh, the dear man was so granted living faith that he could say he hoped to pass that river telling the triumphs of his King. Oh dear friends, I will make all my mountains away. And how it was even with the Christian in the Pilgrim's Progress. I know it was but an allegory given to John Bunyan, but how those pilgrims that reached that river, they were each helped over. They weren't left. They were each helped over. Oh then, dear friends, but may we be helped to consider the Lord Jesus Christ, because it was his suffering, his death, and his passing through. That was what came to my thought just now, you see. The Lord Jesus Christ was so overwhelmed that he prayed, oh my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me. Oh, it was with him he could wish it would not have to be. But he was shown, except I drink it, thy will be done. And dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ drank it, and in drinking it up, the bitterness and the wrath was consumed and passed away. There is a sermon that I'm sure some of you may know of that was preached many years ago by a man whose surname begins with a G, Gray Hazelrigg, I think, if I've got it right. And he preached from that very text that I've just mentioned in Matthew's Gospel about the cup being drunk. And what a sermon he preached, and it was recorded. The cup that passes away in the drinking of it. And dear friends, really, that's an exposition of this subject for the Lord's people. And I will make all my mountains away. Now, it may be a way that will be in a measure of suffering, a measure of pain, a measure of loss, a measure of sorrow, but it will be the way to heaven. It will be the right way. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. I will make all my mountains away. Now, the verse continues, and so, as helped, I do want to make a few remarks upon the latter clause. This is still the promise and the word of God. I will make all my mountains away, and my highways shall be exalted. My highways shall be exalted. Well, first of all, if we think of this word in one sense, I believe it means Christ exalted. We have that word in another chapter of this prophecy, and an highway shall be there, and the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. And friends, that's the way is Jesus, who is the way where poor sinners may walk, and they will not err. They will be kept, though fools. Now, all my highways shall be exalted. Chiefly in that regard, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. But I believe it means also those particular ways that the Lord has appointed for his honour and for his glory. And by that I'm thinking especially, and I hope as the Lord would have it to be, and it is this, in the ordinances of the Lord's house. Oh, friends, how few are led to these highways. I do want to speak right. But, oh, friends, isn't there a tendency, and it was so with me, as it were, to sit in the pew and think, well, that way of witness in the Church of God, others will do that. I'm not fit or qualified, or whatever excuse is brought. But dear friends, you know, there are many in the church who, if it were left to themselves, would never have been brought in to witness for the Lord. No. Oh, friends, it isn't something to be taken on for self-promotion. I fear that sometimes people look at it like that, from both points of view. But dear friends, every trembling soul that ventures to walk in the ways of God's appointment, in the ordinances of his house, it is, when the Lord is in it, it is that self might be nothing, and that Jesus may be all and in all. And so, friends, I feel here is a word, and my highways shall be exalted. We know that amongst some the ordinance of believers' baptism is despised. But, dear friends, the Lord has said, my highways shall be exalted. And, friends, they will be, because the Lord has declared it, and the Lord will do it. And my highways shall be exalted. And so the Lord will bring these poor sinners to walk in his ways, his highways, to seek to follow the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ through the waters of baptism and to obey his voice in remembering the Lord Jesus at his table. This is Remembrance Sunday, and no doubt, and it's not something I would criticise at all, it is perfectly right to remember those who fell in the wars and the Lord's goodness to our nation. But friends, isn't there something far more important and becoming to sinners who know a little touch of the love of Christ, is to remember him. To remember him. And dear friends, the Lord does exhort us He has commanded us. He has said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. So he declares here, and my highways shall be exalted. But then one last thought, and it comes again from this same prophecy of Isaiah. And most Bibles have a reference to this as well. In chapter 40 in the 4th verse, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Well, principally again, it really speaks of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I venture just to leave the thoughts with you. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. Oh, dear friends, the path of a poor sinner, and some of the valleys that people are called to walk in, and they are deep valleys, some of them. But the Lord has said, every valley shall be exalted. And friends, I believe the Lord's people often prove his presence in these valleys. And the dear psalmist especially, of course, referred to the valley of the shadow of death. Yea, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Oh, friends, so although I know that speaks of valleys, but it brings in the mountains as well. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. All those things that you never thought you would ever come through, but haven't you? Did not the Lord work? Did he not remove the mountain? And did he not bring you safely through? Well, isn't there then a cause, ground, to praise God, from whom all blessings flow? But, you see, it is these impossibilities that the Lord will make to be a way. That's the truth. These impossibilities that the Lord brings his people through, he will make them to be a way. What for? To reduce a poor sinner to nothing in themselves, and to make the Lord Jesus Christ to be everything. Amen.